Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Visual Thinking by Temple Grandin explores how different minds process information, with special attention to people who think in images, patterns, and spatial relationships. Drawing on Grandin's long career as an autism advocate, scientist, and designer, the book argues that society often undervalues visual and nonverbal intelligence, even though it fuels many breakthroughs in engineering, art, architecture, medicine, and skilled trades. Rather than treating visual thinking as a narrow talent, Grandin frames it as a set of cognitive strengths that can be cultivated and translated into practical problem solving. She also examines why some students who are strong in hands-on learning struggle in classrooms that emphasize abstract, text-heavy instruction. The book invites readers to recognize cognitive diversity in themselves and others, and it connects that recognition to real-world outcomes such as innovation, employability, and better educational fit. Overall, it is both a celebration of visual minds and a guide to supporting them. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, three styles of visual minds: picture, pattern, and word-oriented thinking. A central idea of the book is that visual thinking is not one single skill. Grandin distinguishes between people who think primarily in pictures, those who excel at pattern-based reasoning, and those who rely more on words and step-by-step verbal logic. Picture thinkers often form vivid mental images and may be strong in concrete visualization, design, and troubleshooting physical systems. Pattern thinkers may be drawn to mathematics, music, coding, and complex systems where relationships matter more than photorealistic detail. Word-oriented thinkers typically handle sequential instructions and abstract language with ease, yet may not notice spatial or sensory details that visual thinkers catch quickly. This framework helps explain why two people can both be smart and still misunderstand each other at work or in school. It also reframes many learning struggles as mismatches between cognitive style and teaching method, rather than lack of ability. By naming these styles, the book gives readers a practical vocabulary for identifying strengths, choosing study techniques, and collaborating more effectively across different ways of thinking. Secondly, why modern education often sidelines hands-on intelligence. Grandin argues that many school systems prioritize abstract, text-centered performance at the expense of experiential learning. Visual and hands-on learners may understand a concept deeply when they can build it, draw it, map it, or see it in action, but they can be penalized when mastery is measured mostly through lengthy reading and writing. The book highlights how reduced exposure to practical classes and shop-style environments can limit opportunities for students to discover talents in mechanics, fabrication, design, drafting, or laboratory work. Grandin links this narrowing of experiences to long-term consequences, including fewer pathways into skilled trades and applied technical careers that society still depends on. She emphasizes that many high-value innovations come from people who can see how parts fit together, anticipate real-world constraints, and iterate through prototypes. By advocating for more project-based learning, apprenticeships, and tactile instruction, the book makes a case for educational diversity that respects both abstract and concrete thinkers. The point is not to diminish academic learning, but to broaden what counts as intelligence and competence. Thirdly, from strengths to careers, matching cognitive style with meaningful work, the book connects thinking style to career fit, showing how overlooked visual skills can become a competitive advantage. Grandin highlights the importance of aligning natural cognition with environments that reward it, such as engineering, industrial design, architecture, animal science, surgery, data visualization, or skilled trades. Visual thinkers may excel at diagnosing problems by noticing subtle anomalies, mentally simulating processes, or seeing the whole system rather than isolated facts. Pattern thinkers may thrive where structure, repetition, and rule-governed relationships matter, from analytics to music and programming. At the same time, Grandin acknowledges that career success also requires communication, self-management, and the ability to translate visual insights into plans others can follow. The book therefore treats employment as both a strengths question and a support question. Readers are encouraged to seek mentors, internships, and hands-on experiences that reveal aptitude early, and to build a portfolio of tangible work rather than relying only on test scores. The overall message is empowering. Cognitive differences can be assets when paired with the right training, expectations, and workplace design. Fourthly, building skills that convert visual ideas into results, Grandin emphasizes that talent is most valuable when it becomes reliable output. Visual thinking can generate powerful insights, but it also needs structure, practice, and tools to communicate. The book discusses ways visual thinkers can strengthen weak spots without losing their strengths, such as learning to organize tasks, write clear instructions, and break large projects into steps. It also supports the use of external aids like sketches, diagrams, checklists, models, and computer-aided design, which can turn mental images into shareable artifacts. A related theme is deliberate exposure to real-world problem-solving, where feedback is immediate and concrete. Building, fixing, measuring, and testing teach cause and effect in a way that purely verbal explanations often cannot. Grandin also highlights the value of learning by doing under experienced guidance, since mentors can help translate intuitive visual judgments into repeatable methods. For readers who are educators, managers, or parents, this topic points toward practical support strategies, evaluate outcomes, not just verbal fluency, and give learners multiple ways to show competence. In this view, visual thinking becomes a disciplined craft, not a vague trait. Lastly, cognitive diversity is a driver of innovation and resilience. A broader argument running through the book is that society benefits when it supports many kinds of minds. Grandin links visual and pattern-based thinking to invention, problem-solving, and the ability to notice details others miss, qualities that matter in fields from infrastructure to healthcare to technology. When institutions reward only one narrow style of performance, they can unintentionally filter out people who would improve systems, build safer designs, and spot emerging risks. The book encourages readers to see neurodiversity and learning differences through a strengths-informed lens, while still acknowledging real challenges such as anxiety, executive function difficulties, or social friction. The goal is not romanticizing difference, but building environments where different minds can contribute. This includes designing teams with complementary skills, creating training routes that value practice, and evaluating potential using real tasks rather than only standardized measures. Grandin's perspective highlights resilience as well. Diverse thinking styles provide multiple approaches when problems change, and they help communities adapt through creativity and practical competence. The result is a compelling case for inclusion rooted in performance and progress. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who suspect they or someone they know learns visually, thinks in systems, or struggles in purely verbal academic settings. It also serves educators, managers, and parents who want a clearer framework for recognizing talent that does not always show up on traditional tests. The benefit is practical. By identifying whether a person is more of a picture thinker, a pattern thinker, or a word-oriented thinker, readers can make smarter choices about study methods, career paths, and collaboration. The book encourages concrete steps such as seeking hands-on experiences, using visual tools to communicate, and building skills that turn intuitive insight into dependable work. Compared to many titles on neurodiversity or learning differences, Grandin's approach stands out for its focus on real-world problem-solving and employable strengths. Not only personal stories or broad inspiration. It connects cognitive style to education design, workforce needs, and innovation, giving the reader both reassurance and direction. If you want a grounded argument for why visual intelligence matters and how to support it, this book is worth buying because it bridges science, lived experience, and actionable guidance in a single, coherent perspective. If you would like to support Temple Grandin PhD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.